know what? That sounds pretty damn good. I am live. I am Jim Rome. And you are in the jungle. What's cracking? Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the program. Live in Southern California. What's cracking? Nice to have you here. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We have a very nice program. I've got good interviews. They are evenly distributed throughout. A lot of good takes, a lot of good content. I'm going to keep my word with you. Good programming during this pandemic. All right, cell phone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Now would be a good time to call. Now would be a good time to call because our first interview is not until 40 past the hour. So you should call me right now. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. I want to remind you that after this week, I'm off for 2 weeks. Not to throw that in your face, but to remind you, after this week, I'm off for 2 weeks, meaning I would love to hear from you right now. Never too soon to get that golden ticket. Never too soon to think about the smack off next summer. In fact, I think we gave one out yesterday. In fact, I know we gave one out yesterday. 1-800-636-8686. If you know what you want to talk about, dial now. Do not wait on me. You know how to find me on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you know to email me as well at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. Probably wondering who we're talking to on this Tuesday. We are talking to the head football coach at Wake Forest, Dave Clawson, at 40 past. Top of hour number two. One of my favorite dudes, Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast. Coming up in hour number three, a safety for the Atlanta Falcons, Keanu Neal. Tomorrow is a podcast day. I will tape tomorrow's podcast today. Andre Iguodala is going to be my guest. So I've got this thing working. Lots to get done. In fact, why don't we start with the NBA? With Avery Bradley announcing that he will not be joining the Lakers in Orlando, LA's got to make a tough decision. That is not an easy guy to replace. They need another guard. And I'm not sure they can find a guard who can necessarily do exactly what Bradley can do, but they need to find somebody else. So what do they need? They need somebody who can stretch the floor, somebody who's got experience on the big stage. What about adding a guy who is top four in NBA history for made threes in the NBA Finals? Now, if I had a guy like that, would that interest you, Laker fan? If you want somebody to stretch the floor and help you get to the finals, how about the guy who has made more threes in the finals than just about anybody who has ever played in the game? And no, I'm not talking about Michael Jordan coming out of retirement. I'm not talking about Ray Allen coming out of retirement. I'm not talking about Big Game Bob, Robert Horry coming out of retirement. LA is not doing a deal with the Warriors for Steph or Klay. No, I'm talking about this guy. So right, so right, so right. It's J.R. Swish. Peeped the crossover. J.R. Swish. The Henny God. Who hates Henny. And yes, he is in fact fourth all time in finals history for made threes. Yes, he is ahead of Robert Horry. He is ahead of Ray Allen. He is ahead of Manu Ginobili. He is ahead of everybody, not named Klay, LeBron, and Steph. And yesterday, we did move one step closer to the moment we have all been waiting for. And that step came in the form of a tweet from my guy Woj. Quote, free agent guard J.R. Smith and the Lakers are working through final steps of a deal today, and he will be added to the roster for the Orlando restart, sources tell ESPN. End quote. So that is one step closer to LeBron and JR reuniting. One step closer to a glorious future that is a reminder of an amazing past. A past which includes moments like this from game one of the 2018 NBA Finals. You'll remember Cleveland at Golden State. 4.7 seconds left. Cleveland's George Hill at the line. He made the first free throw. That tied the game. You make the second. The Cavs have the lead and a chance to steal game one and rip the home court. Roll it.
Plenty of time with 4.7 remaining. Hill misses. Rebound goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith brings it back out. Throws it to Hill.
Uh-oh.
Hill shot blocked. Uh-oh. And we'll go to overtime.
You get the feeling J.R. Smith thought they had the lead.
He didn't know the score.
I think, exactly. That's a bad mistake by J.R. Smith.
You could hear LeBron screaming in the background when that went down. That is the stuff of legend. Remember, J.R. Smith getting a critical rebound, and instead of going back up with it to win the game, he races out to midcourt with the ball while LeBron is yelling at him. And then at the last second, he fires the ball back to Hill, who has to take a desperation shot. That's a moment that changed history. Golden State goes on to win that game and the series, but that moment itself gave us the incredible meme of LeBron yelling to Smith with both hands out like, "What were you doing?" And it led to LeBron reportedly breaking his hand when he went back into the locker room after he lost the game. We had an audio engineer who was in the locker room when it happened. I don't know what he hit, but he hit something, and this is the sound he made. Pretty understandable, though, right? I mean, the guy did score 51 on the road in the finals, and it wasn't enough. And then it led to some absolutely incredible quotes from Smith. Initially after the game, J.R. Smith said he knew the score.
We were tie ball game. We had a timeout, and I was trying to get enough space because I obviously can't stand it right there. Trying to get enough space to bring it out to get it, maybe get a shot off, and then I see him. I looked over at Bron. He looked like he was trying to call a timeout, so I just stopped, and then the game was over.
So that was J.R. saying he knew the score. LeBron, who was seated nearby, reacted when he heard that. Then JR, a day later, he wasn't so sure of the score or really of anything at all.
After thinking about it a lot, the last 24 hours or however many since the game was over, I can't say I was sure of anything at that point.
Right. So now you're telling me that we're going through the final steps of J.R. Smith, not just returning to the NBA, but returning to the NBA to join the Lakers and reunite with LeBron. It's incredible. I mean, do it. Make that happen. Make that dream real. Because the Lakers don't just need this. We all need this. We all need J.R. Swish back. Not just because of what he brings on the floor, but because of what he brings in life. Where else are you going to find a guy who has been fined serious money for untying an opponent's shoe? Or a guy who has thrown a bowl of soup at a coach? Or a guy who forgot the score at the end of a game in the finals? Believe me, after the year we've had, after the year we've all had, we need this guy back in the league. Because the league is better when J.R. Smith is in it. But let's be serious. He's not just the walking, talking meme you all want to make him out to be. The Lakers are not going to sign this guy for a joke or to get another meme out of it. They're signing him to win games. They're signing him because they believe that he can help. They're doing it because of the options that are available. They're looking at that and they're saying, this guy's the best. Do you think LeBron would bring back a guy who cost him a potential ring if he didn't think that he could help him win another? And you don't spend more than a decade in that league just because you're a good dude or a wacky dude or you're cool to be around. You do it because the guy can make plays, and there might not be a better bad shot maker than J.R. Swish. He set the Cavs record for made threes and a half with six in a playoff game against the Hawks. Afterwards, LeBron said, quote, J.R., he's the only one on the team that has the ultra green light. It's like fluorescent. I don't think LeBron's the best quote ever, but that's one of his best quotes ever. So, meme aside, bowl of soup throwing aside, he fits well with LeBron. They know each other. They know how the other guy operates, what the other guy needs. They'll make it work. And if there's any sense of poetry or justice in this world, the Lakers will get to the finals, play it at a theme park during a global pandemic, and J.R. Smith will set up LeBron James for a clutch play to finish it. Or J.R. actually remembers the score, gets the rebound, and goes right back up with it. This is what the world needs right now. That won't just be good for the Lakers. That'll be good for all of us. So when it comes to this move for the Lakers, I'm not just going to give it a green light. I'm going to give it the so-called ultra green light, the fluorescent green light. Hell yes. I mean, yeah, I'm concerned about a return to action for the NBA in Orlando. Yes, I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about all of us returning to action. But a little less so with J.R. Swish leading the charge. I'm nervous about the return of the NBA. I'm nervous about the return for all of us to everything. But a little less so if Swish is there. Let me tell you something. How good of a dude and how good of a player must this guy be that LeBron would want him back after he cost him that game by not knowing the score? That's how good of a dude J.R. Smith is. That's how good of a player he is.
I can't say I was sure of anything at that point.
Right? That's fine. Always forgiven, my man. All you have to do is own it. And he did. Just like he owned the fact that he's the Henny God and he doesn't even like Henny. Now that is a little disappointing. 1-800-636-8686. What is your reaction? Stucknuts in. He writes, sound bites right on cue. Sounds like Alvy is back. I'm telling you, man. That's how good Alvin is. That's how subtle, but how brilliant Alvin is. You can hear an opening rant and know that Alvin's back in his chair.
Dude, by how tight everything is.
John in New York is in. Did Alvy return the golden ticket drop button to the board? He never took it. The flight deck just couldn't find it. It was Chris in southeastern Wisconsin. He ripped Smackoff 27's first golden ticket. The deck could not find the sound drop for minutes. Alvin did not take it with him. Deck just couldn't find it. Here, Rome. After hearing that clip, how can anybody blame JR for not knowing the score? It clearly was LeBron's fault for not telling him the score beforehand. Signed, James Kelly, trying to blame Alvy for hiding the golden ticket sound on the board at the end of yesterday's show. Matt in Poland Springs, well done. No, Alvin does not take the sound library home with him. He's just the only one who knows how to fully access the sound library. James Kelly did the best he could. I mean, that's not easy. That is not an easy board to run. All right, so in addition to that, the Patriots cheat. We didn't get to that yesterday because conveniently, and what a coinky-dink it was, on the day that we found out that they cheat still, or did, they also announced the signing of Cam Newton. What a coinky-dink. How did that happen? How did those two things fall on the same day? That is amazing. Yeah, well, they still cheat. And I have a take on that. Even if I didn't get to it yesterday, it doesn't mean they don't cheat, because they do. Otherwise, the league would not be fining them seven figures and ripping a draft pick. That's how you know they cheat, because the NFL did them like that. Also, Cuddy, update number 4. Another day, another Jay Cutler update. I do have it. I've got a Johnny Manziel update. One more thing about LeBron. It's been 10 years since the decision, which is scary enough, right? 10 years. 10 years since the decision. So because of that, there are a lot of retrospectives and things being thrown out there. One of my favorite things to come out this week, 10 years after the fact, is that Joakim Noah, was the one who was trying to recruit LeBron to Chicago from Cleveland. Joe Noah. That's pretty rich. Derrick Rose wanted no part of that. Also, another day, another take, possibly on America's team, the Cleveland Browns. How about ODB's response to him being on his way to New England? Patriots honks have always said that. We'll get him. We'll get him. This is where he wants to be. Well, he saw the latest response, not from some egg, but from a blue check MLB-er. And ODB had a classic response to that. So, like I said, another good show amidst the pandemic. Good content. What can you do to make it even better yourself? 1-800-636-8686. Use the number. And yes, the man, the legend, the icon behind the glass. Not you, Rit. Alvy is back.
It's lit.
Finally.
Rit, man, you are some weird old dude, man. What are you raising your hand up like I'm talking about you? Come on, man.
Game on.
Hey, clones, game on. What? Hey, clones, you heard me talk about Walmart delivery before, right? Now, Walmart has their fastest delivery service ever. Walmart Express Delivery. Get groceries and more delivered from their door to yours with no contact delivery in 2 hours or less. Zero markups. Same low prices as in-store, so do not let work, kids, an at-home workout, or anything else that life throws at you right now, because there is a lot coming at you. Don't let any of that get in the way of getting what you need when you need it. Try Walmart Express Delivery today. Restrictions and fees do apply. Walmart Express Delivery.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I mentioned I did give away a golden ticket yesterday. I went to Chris in Southeast Wisco. He's off to a good start. He's had three really good calls. And the last one ended with him getting a golden ticket. So now he's got to find a way to hold on to a golden ticket for the better part of a year. That won't be easy. Unless he's good enough, then it would be. So if you want to react to that, go ahead. Like this guy, for instance. Let's keep it in Wisconsin. I will be in Wisconsin next week. The fam is already in Wisconsin. And I've seen pictures. Beautiful day in northern Wisconsin. Let's go to Green Bay. Logan in Green Bay, you are up. What's going on, Logan? How are you?
I'm good, Jim, but I'm sweating like there's no tomorrow. You better bring the sunblock when you get up here. It is going to be 75 degree dew points. I regret to inform you. It's going to be steamy. I hope the Northwoods is a little bit better than down here, but you know, we're keeping it real.
I got you. I heard it's hot, but it looks beautiful. I'm all right with it. You know, I grew up in the valley in Los Angeles. I'm used to heat. I know it's a different kind of heat. I'm more concerned about the bugs, but it's going to be good. I can't wait to get there.
No, it'll be good for you. And, you know, it's been a while since I've called. I would have called sooner to talk Lance Dock, but you had one guy on who summed it up well, and I'm going to leave Lance at that. I'm not even going to mention his name again. And Hawk also did a good job of screening me when I wanted to crack on bullfighting. I was just kind of getting antsy that day. But that's not the reason I wanted to call today. The reason I wanted to call today is to say that Chris in Southeast, wherever Wisconsin he's from, I don't know, Whitewater, Lake Geneva, if it was a legitimate city like Milwaukee or Kenosha or Racine, he would have said so. But all we got here, Jim, is a fib. And for those of you who aren't from the Midwest, the I stands for Illinois, and you can fill in the other two consonants. Anyways, Jim, I get it. You know, he ran a pretty good call, but I can't have a Bears fan from Wisconsin taking away the credibility of Caleb in Green Bay and Benny in Wisco. So I'm not going to be a smack-off contestant. I don't want to be one, but please, for the love of God, Jim, run this guy back, revoke his ticket, and restore some faith in Cheesehead Nation. I'm out.
All right, Logan, thank you very much. I mean, I've got no problem ripping that guy's ticket back if he gives me a reason to rip the ticket back, but he hasn't. So now you've got three in Wisconsin. Literally. In terms of per capita, that's a high number. You have Caleb, you have Benny, and now you have Chris in Southeast Wisco. It's pretty impressive. Three smack-off participants already set for next year in the great state of Wisconsin. There's some Wisco on Wisco crime right there. I'm not even sure, Logan, what your problem is with that guy. Why are you upset with Chris? He's one of you. Oh, he's a Bears fan. That's right. Okay, I can see where that might piss you off. That doesn't really work. A Bears fan living in Wisconsin. Like a Vikings fan living in Wisconsin. I'd say that's an issue, but didn't your favorite guy ever, Brett Favre, go play for the Vikings? How could you even ponder that? You know how he pondered that? He wanted to come back and screw you twice a year.
Why do you even ponder passing?
No, Chris in Southeast Wisconsin picked up that golden ticket yesterday. He still has it. 1-800-636-8686. I like my man saying, hey, Rome, be careful, man. It's 75 degrees here. It is hot as hell. 75 degrees? 75 degrees is like sweater weather here in California. 75 degrees, man, we're cold. 75 degrees, and I've got the seat warmers on in my car. Yeah, I'm all right with 75. I'm more concerned about those bugs that are the size of pterodactyls. For some reason, they like me. So again, I sent the family ahead. The fam is already in Wisconsin. I'm grinding out this week, and I will join them next week for the two-week break. 1-800-636-8686, man. Wisconsin's taking over this damn show. SoCal Jeff can't be happy about that. He tweets, is that Logan in Green Bay or Dallas Reigns? Thanks for the weather update, bro. It's a good point, Jeff. I think that he was looking out for me and trying to give me a heads up. A heads up for what? That it's 75 degrees? Oh, damn, I better not go. 75 degrees. You mean 3 degrees above perfectly comfortable. Bella B is in. She writes, good looking out, Logan in Green Bay. Rome isn't really used to 75 degree temps. Bella, bravo. Hell yeah, Bella. Look at Bella getting nice. Good looking out, Logan. Rome is not used to 75 degree temps. Eric in Orlando 9 tweets, Rome, good to have Alvin back at the helm. Wore his crazy bleached chiclets and kooky wind-driven Elvis lettuce. It's a good way to go, man. Alvin's got the look. This is a TV show. That whole thing about faces made for radio, that's writ. Just kidding, old man. No, it's all about the look. Why do you think Alvin's in the front row and Ritt's in the back row? It's not personal. Wells in the 360 tweets, Chris ripped a golden ticket. I know a thing or two about ripping something. Signed Ian Poulter. That did not jump today. Apparently it did. Good one, Wells. A flatulence reset. Good stuff, Wells. Good stuff. Keep coming. Hey, Wells, I remember what it was like to be in third grade. 1-800-636-8686. Do better. Do much better. Be better. I know you can. It's possible. Wake Forest head football coach Dave Clawson will be joining me in about 15 minutes. Ross Tucker is going to break down some NFL at the top of the hour. Then we're wide open until the middle of hour number three when Falcon safety Keanu Neal joins me. I do want to talk about ODB getting a shout out from a major leaguer. This is not some anonymous egg, but a major leaguer saying, do it. It's only a matter of time. Go to the Pats. And I loved ODB's response to that. Also, Jay Cutler continues to fight that losing battle. I've got the update. That's coming up a little bit later on. And I wonder if I might give another golden ticket out today. Had one yesterday. Adam, let me check in with you real quick. All right, so I could tell something's going on. You just got off the phone with who about what? Bring me up to date.
Basically, every phone call coming in right now is from a 920 area code, which is Wisconsin, and they're upset that we misunderstood Logan in Green Bay, who was speaking about dew point and not temperature. Apparently, dew point, I was doing a little bit of research on it, has to do with humidity. It's the temperature in which air must be cooled to become saturated with water vapor. So apparently it's humid as hell. So it's very thick in Wisconsin. So our apologies to Logan.
Yes, yes. My apologies. Yo, Wisco. Wisco, first of all, I am sorry. I always say this myself. If you do something wrong or you make a mistake, man, just apologize for it and mean it. I am sorry. I thought you were referencing the temperature being 75 degrees. And I did not pick up on it being a dew point. So, Logan, I'm sorry. Wisco, I'm sorry. Wisco, you know this, though. I mean, accept the apology. I'm one of you, man. I pay taxes there, damn it. I pay taxes.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize.
No. To absolutely everybody in Wisconsin. I do. I mean it. Let me tell you something, Wisco. I am sorry, period. I'm not going to qualify it. I'm not going to say, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm just sorry. But know this, a gigantic chunk of my life financially is in your state. I'm investing in your state. I'm paying taxes in your state. I'm one of you. I'm one of you. And I'm still learning. Let me hear that one more time.
It is going to be 75 degree dew point.
Okay, my bad. My bad. I just heard 75 degrees, and I'm like, 75 degrees.
My bad. I called it wrong.
Now, in fairness to me, you did kind of fumble that line.
It is going to be 75 degree dew points.
All right. Probably should have picked up on that. Wisco, we good? We good now? Sorry about that. 75 degree dew point, which is like a million degrees humidity, which means the bugs are coming out. I am sorry, Wisco. Do you accept my apology? Yes, I know you do because you are nice people. I've been there. Why do you think I bought real estate there? Why do you think I invested in your great state? When we come back, we will talk to the head football coach at Wake Forest, Dave Clawson. Then I'm going to chase that with Ross Tucker. And then the middle of the show is wide open. Let's get you a sports update. Here's the latest on this Tuesday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. I am Jim Rome. Why don't we start the interview portion of the program? If you're on hold, do stay there. I'll roll those phone calls a little bit later on. But as promised, we are joined by the head football coach at Wake Forest. He is entering his seventh season with the Demon Deacons. Led them to four straight bowl games. That's the first time in program history that that's happened. Wake Forest tied for the second most wins in the ACC since 2017. They were 8-5 last year. We are joined by head coach Dave Clawson. Dave, it's great to have you back. Before we get into the offseason and preparations for the upcoming season, bring me up to date. How are you and everybody around you doing during this most unusual time, Dave?
We're doing well. We've been very conservative, intentionally bringing our team back. So today is really the first day that we've had our team back. So they're beginning their quarantine now. They'll do some stuff outside, social distancing. We'll test them in a week. And obviously the goal is to have a COVID-free team at some point mid-July. And then the real challenge is trying to stay a COVID-free team.
We're talking to Dave Clawson. I mean, there's a lot in that, to be sure. Also, you recently announced that once camp does open for the team in July, that you were going to isolate from your wife, Catherine, who is a cancer survivor. The plan is to stay isolated from her until the end of the season. So how did the idea first come to be, and then how difficult a decision was that to make?
Well, over the pandemic, we went through a scare about 3 years ago, and it was a big scare. And she's in great health, but she went through surgery, had chemo, had radiation, and it was a long road. And she had one of her follow-up appointments during the pandemic, and it got canceled, and she talked to someone there. And the person said, hey, you know, because of chemo and your low white blood cell count, you are at the at-risk group, that if you would get COVID, your chances of complications with this would be, you're at greater risk than the general population. And then, we've been conservative bringing people back. And just in the last month, the amount of cases that are popping up all over the country on some of these campuses, I just couldn't, I couldn't imagine having the anxiety of being around my football team, finding out that one or two or four of them tested positive, trying to figure out if I had been near them in the last week, and then wondering when I go home at night, did I give that to my wife who's at risk? And so you say, was it a hard decision? It's an unfortunate circumstance. It was an easy decision. There's really no decision to make. It's unfortunate, but, she's in good health. She's a survivor. This is a long-lasting impact of if you have chemotherapy. And, I'm not looking for sympathy or a medal. There's certainly people who in the military separate from their families for months at a time, and they're risking their life. I'm coaching football. But from an awareness standpoint, you know, I think when people go out without masks, it's not just their health, but it's people like my wife who have a compromised immune system because of a previous illness.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that response. Dave Clawson is joining us. And Dave, for those who have gone through what your family's going through, I understand this. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think a lot of people listening do too. I've always made the point that either you know somebody close to you who's dealt with cancer, or you know somebody who knows somebody. So I think that we know what you're talking about. Now, one of the things you also said is, for years, the characteristics, this is a quote now, the characteristics of a coach have always been applauded, have been the laser-like focus on the game, staying at your office until 2 a.m., watching film, the guy who blocks out everything that's happening in the world. With COVID and social injustice, our jobs are different and they're changing, and watching film does not qualify you to talk about COVID or social injustice, end quote. I think that's a really powerful statement. Can you lay that out for me? What do you mean by that, and how much have you had to go about adapting and growing because of this?
Yeah, I think if you look at our profession, Jim, I mean, who become head coaches? I mean, it's usually people that have had success as offensive and defensive coordinators. And if you're a defensive coordinator and you figure out the best way to attack a protection on third down, or on an offensive coordinator, if you figure out the best way to attack a zone blitz, you know, those are the things in the skill set that allows you to be in a position to be a head coach. But the position of a head coach, especially in today's day and age, you know, has very little to do with that ability to drop a zone blitz or attack a protection or run a route. And if you look at our profession, and this is historically, I mean, this goes back to the days of Vince Lombardi. If you ever read the book, When Pride Still Mattered, there's a story that the cops are calling and he doesn't want to pick it up because he's afraid Jim Horning did something, and his wife said, what if it's one of your children? And that laser focus and only caring about your team and being so committed to the details, I think that's a trait that's been applauded and complimented in our profession forever. And now the world is different. We have more exposure. We're on TV more. You know, a football coach in North Carolina has the honor of being on the Jim Rome Show. Our jobs are different. And to not be aware of what's going on in the world around us, to not have an understanding of how these events affect our lives, our players' lives, our communities' lives, you know, our ability to just lock ourselves in the film room is, I don't think, an option we have anymore. And I shared that with our team, that, you know, my job is I need to listen, I need to learn, I've got to become a great advocate for you, but you guys got to help me do that. But I have to be willing to make the effort to listen. And sometimes that means taking time away from watching film. And I think the trade-off is worth it.
Wake Forest head football coach Dave Clawson is joining us. You know, part of that conversation, too, from last season that you and I had was about the core principles and knowing who you are as a coach and who you are as a school, who you are as a program. So when you're in an offseason like this and the world is the way it is and you don't get to spend as much time with your players like you'd like to, you have to trust that doing the work that needs to be done is getting done. My point is, how valuable then are those core principles and that culture that you have developed at Wake Forest, especially at a time like this?
It's very important. And I told our team, and I picked this up somewhere, but, you know, bad organizations are destroyed by a crisis. Good organizations survive them, and great organizations are improved by them. My expectation is, as we get through this, we'll become a better program. And the reason I have such faith in that is the character and the caliber of the student athletes we have. You know, we get smart players here at Wake Forest. You know, we have a disciplined football team. That's why we've had success. And all those traits that have allowed us to build the program have to be the traits that allow us to not just survive, but thrive during the pandemic and during COVID, so that when this does restart, that we're ahead of our competition. And I'm very hopeful that we can do that.
Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson joining us. And then we can actually talk some football now. You're coming off that 8-win season last year. And for perspective, there really have not been too many of those types of seasons in the program. But at the same time, you have raised the expectations since you arrived on campus. So when you look back on last year, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, it's probably a good thing that I'm disappointed it was an 8-5 season. I mean, when we talked, we were 7-1, ranked 19th in the country. And it looks like we had a great shot to make the Orange Bowl. And, you know, we kind of, at the end of the season, you know, we really didn't have the depth that when we hit injuries, we weren't the same team at the end of the year that we were when we talked. And I think now that's our next challenge as a program, is we're to the point that most of our starters can line up with most people in the league, and we can be competitive against them. Maybe the one exception is Clemson. But that next step now is becoming a program that has depth and can survive injuries and still maintain a level of play. And so that's our next goal, and that's our next step, and that's what we're chasing right now.
Yeah, you're not going to use it as an excuse, but injuries were definitely a factor, and they were a challenge last season. As an example, Serge Surratt missed the final four games, yet he still was named first team, all ACC. What's that say about his abilities and how much of an impact he can have on a game?
He's a big-time player. I mean, he's one of the best receivers in the ACC, and it stinks, and it was awful that we lost him the last quarter of the season or last third of the season. But again, there's always silver linings, Jim. And if he plays the rest of the year, he might be in the NFL now. So we probably, if he doesn't have that injury, we might not get him for another year. So he's a big time player. We're lucky to have him. You know, we had another player, Boogie Basham, that probably turned down being a second or third round pick to come back and try to be a first round pick. So we have those type of players here. We just got to get more of them, and we've got to develop depth. And if we can do that, hopefully, if we can get off to a quick start, we can then sustain that. And so that, again, like I said, you always want to be getting better and improving, and that's what we have to do here, I think, to take that next step as a program.
We're talking Wake Forest football. Dave Clawson, the head coach, we are going to join or be joined for a few more moments there. You know, Sam Hartman is taking over to quarterback again after Jamie Newman was the starter last year. I know you've said that you believe that last season was good for Hartman. What do you think he learned from that experience?
Well, he won the job 2 years ago as a true freshman, and that's not normal. If you ever end up with a true freshman quarterback, it's probably the result of some things went wrong. And he wasn't ready to play, but he competed and he went hard. And I think last year, to get that redshirt year back, to learn from Jamie and watch and observe, he played four games last year and played better in the four games he played as a backup than he did the year before as a starter. So I tell everybody, in terms of our football team, you know, quarterback is one of the positions I'm least concerned about. I think Sam wound up being one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC. We've got good depth at that position, and he'll be a really good player. I think he learned a lot, and he's really right on target. We had hoped to redshirt him and then play him, and it just so happened we played him and then redshirted him. So he's exactly where we want him to be. You know, he came in here at 172 pounds or 168 pounds. He now weighs 214, and he looks good. So, you know, he hasn't lost a step. He's faster. And we just got to keep him upright and make sure we try to keep him healthy as well.
So, Dave, before I let you go, you mentioned the next step for the program. Like, what does the next step in the growth look like for the program? And how do you know when you see that? For instance, do you know it's because of results or is it about something else? What are you looking for specifically?
I think right now for us, it's just the ability to probably roll more players in there. And not feel that when we go from our one to our two, that the level has fallen off as much as it has at some positions. And I think once we can establish that depth that I think we're close to establishing, number one, I think it'll help us keep our team healthy because the starters won't have to play as much. And then if we do have injuries, you know, the level of play won't drop off as much as it has when we've gotten like that. So, you know, clearly it's results oriented. You know, but a couple of years here, we've gotten off to quick starts and been in a real good position in October, and we've not closed the deal. And I think if we can develop that depth and become the same team in November and December as we were in September and October, that would be a major next step for us.
And then in the meantime, Wake Forest, again, tied for second most wins in the conference since 2017. They had 8 wins last year. Their head coach is Dave Clawson. Dave, great to get caught up. Appreciate your thoughts on all that. Let's hope you get some good luck and some good fortune, and we can see some football soon.
That's the plan, and that's the goal. So thanks so much for having me on, Jim. I always enjoy it.
Me too, Dave. Appreciate you. Appreciate the conversation. Dave Clawson, Wake Forest head football coach. All right, so coming to the end of hour number one, I do have a little time right now if you want to react to any of this, like this guy. This is directed to James Rome III, Wisconsin. Why would you purposely go to Wisconsin? I don't even go east of I-5. Signed, Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. Dude, there is nothing more pally about you than that. How Pacific Palisades of you. The only thing more Pacific Palisades than that is your name, Beauregard. Damn, Beauregard. Why would I purposely go to Wisconsin? How much time do you have? Lake life. There's a chain of lakes there that I've never seen the likes of. Property value, you get a lot more for your dollar than you do in Pacific Palisades. There's nobody there named Beauregard. Damn, Beauregard. Arrogant much? Yes, I made the decision. Nobody's making me go there. I chose to put myself there. And as I mentioned again, I'm betting a chunk of my portfolio on that region of the country. I am paying taxes there. S. Gassman writes, Jimmy, some perspective on 78 dew point. If you're working outside in that, you better have gold bond in your back pocket instead of a dip can. And it would mess up Alvin DeLauro's hair instantly. All right, I got it. Fair enough. I apologized. I understood that it was not 75 degrees, but it was a 75 dew point. Now I know. Thanks for hooking me up with that knowledge. I needed it. I'm better for it. Dave Clawson just crushed that conversation. When we come back, Ross Tucker joins us. That's next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere. Phone call is coming up after that conversation.